our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
Thank you for joining us on our show today. As you know, we've been discussing some things about the tongue and some problems with the tongue. This is how it usually starts. I love my brother, but you should listen to this. I mean, I want you to know that I love him, but let me tell you what I heard about him. You know, when we think about problems of the tongue, we seldom put 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the middle of the study, but I believe that that's where it belongs. If we actually understood the true characteristics of love, we probably would be more able to control our words. Paul records in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, so if you have your Bibles, you can please follow along. He records these words, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Now, we're not going to go through each of these today, but let's notice just a few of these and pick these out and apply them to us as we think about problems with the tongue. First, he says that love suffers long. That is, love is patient. You know, if we truly love our brothers and sisters, that love should motivate us to have patience with them. Yeah, I think sometimes we kind of expect too much of our brethren, and we expect it now. If they are not the type of Christian that we think that they should be at this very moment, well, we just go and rush right over and talk to them, and we say discouraging words to them. But love is patient. We don't allow people to grow and to be nurtured and to be nourished in the proper time frame. And when we do that, well, we either cause a lot of frustration for them, or we kind of cause ourselves a lot of needless headaches worrying about what everybody else is doing. And so love encourages us to sort of be patient with our brothers and sisters. A brother who truly loves wouldn't speak badly of another brother, even if he had made a mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we just sort of let people continue to live in unrepented sin, like as if nothing happened. I'm not saying that, but I think far too often we mistake our responsibility to help a brother with our right to speak badly about them. We have the responsibility to help him, but we don't have the right to speak badly about him. Now, if he's done wrong, the Bible teaches us what we should do, that we're to go to him first, and we're to discuss it with him. But we're never given the right to ever go behind his back and talk badly about him. And so love is patient enough to allow people to grow and even to learn from their mistakes. But notice what it says next. Love is kind. Now, when it comes to kindness, I guess many of us really have no idea what that means. We believe that, you know, if someone is going to be nice to me, then I'm going to be nice to them back. But that's not a characteristic of the love that God wants for us. Love, agape love, is kind to others, regardless of how they treat us. I love other people regardless of the way that they treat me. That's agape love. That is the God-centered love. So let's ask a few questions for a moment about kindness in regards to how we use our tongues. Is it kind to sort of stand in the back of the church building and whisper about some certain brother or some certain sister? Oh, can you believe what Sister Sally is wearing today? Oh, I would never wear something like that. Is that kind? Is it kind to talk behind someone's back? They're not even there to defend themselves. They're not there to give their side of the story. Is that done out of kindness? Is it love and kindness that drives us to maybe gossip about someone, to say something about someone, to backbite, to gossip, to whisper about each other? I believe kindness wouldn't do any of those things. And so we need to learn to love the way God loves, to have a Christ-centered love with our brethren. Notice it says also, love does not envy. How does envy affect us? Specifically, how does envy in our hearts so many times jump up and move our lips? Our envy motivates us to lift ourselves, and many times it's at the expense of someone else. Oh yeah, I heard he did a good job at this gospel meeting last week, but did you know what I heard about him? And so our envy causes us to want to lift myself, but in so doing, put someone else down. Somehow we think that if I can belittle him, it will somehow make me look better. Was it not envy that caused the Jewish leaders to kill our Lord? Well, we wouldn't want to kill our Lord. And yet, we practice the exact same thing today. Oh, we don't speak badly about the Lord, but we have no problem speaking poorly about his children. It's interesting to me that you remember when Saul, later the Apostle Paul, when Saul was persecuting people in the church, and the Lord saw him on the road, and he asked him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so he connected that what Saul was doing to members of the church, he was doing to the Lord. If we can truly learn this lesson, that anytime I'm speaking badly about my brothers and sisters, I'm speaking badly about my Lord, I think it would help me to see the seriousness of learning to control my tongue. Also, love is not filled with pride. It does not seek its own. When we learn to stop being filled with pride, it's going to help us to learn to love one another. Pride causes people to act in foolish ways. It causes us to say foolish things. You remember, just think back, those of you who are a little bit older, think back to your high school days and all the silly things you did to try to impress some girl. All that was pride. Problem is, we never get out of that phase in the Lord's church, many of us. And we think we have to impress everybody, and so we do these foolish things, and it ends up causing us to sin. Love doesn't act like that. It is not easily provoked. It's not waiting for the next fight. This goes back to what we talked about earlier. Love is supposed to be patient. Love doesn't sit around waiting to see what someone says so that I can jump in there and shut him down. These are characteristics of pride and not of love at all. Also, love thinks no evil. Oh, wow. Think about that for a minute. Love thinks no evil. Those four words really should change the way that we view our brethren. If we could learn to think only good of the brethren at all times, what a difference it would make in my life and in the Lord's church. This is the exact opposite of being a busybody. This is the opposite of evil surmising. This is thinking good of our brethren in whatever situation they might be in. Now, for instance, if I see a picture of a person on my Facebook page and they're in an establishment that I look at and I say, well, they're in a such and such establishment, you know, they shouldn't be in that kind of a place. I have two things that I can do. Number one, I can think poorly of that person, and I can think, well, that person's up to no good. How dare them go into some place like that? Or secondly, I might think that they have a good reason to be in such a place. What I think has really no bearing on the truth of the situation, but it has a bearing on what I am developing in myself. Now, that doesn't mean that love is naive. Love is not naive, but notice, if you love your brother, you give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say that again. If you love your brother, you give him the benefit of the doubt. You think of good, not evil. How many times have you seen a post on your Facebook where one of your Christian brothers or sisters at a work party? I just saw one recently on my Facebook. One sister was sitting with her fellow workers, and they were at a fancy restaurant, and there was a bunch of clear glasses or water of clear, it could be water, could be wine, I don't know what it was. Some of my brethren started asking her what she was drinking, why, sort of, giving her the what for, why she, in fact, she was just drinking water. The problem is, a lot of my brethren automatically thought bad. At one time in my life, I had produced a piece of art. It was sort of an abstract piece of art. And one lady decides that she's going to write me a letter and tell me how awful I was because I had drawn a naked woman. Well, I hadn't drawn a naked woman. I guess if you squinted your eyes and turned your head in certain directions, you might mistake it as a naked woman. But other people thought that it was, you know, it could have easily just have been easily been a duck, or you know, a dog or a fish. It could have been anything. The point is, was it love that caused her to automatically think these evil things and then try to shame me as well? Love believes all things and it hopes all things. It believes the good about a person. It gives the person the benefit of the doubt. There have been times in my life when someone will come to me and they will say, you know, such and such happened, you know. They might say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was caught doing this. Well, the first thing I do is I talk to them a little bit about gossip, and you can go back and listen to some previous shows about that. But then after that, I'm going to go to the person who's in the middle of the story, and I'm going to ask that person what is the truth. Now, whatever that person tells me, I'm going to believe it. Not because I'm naive, but because he was actually there in the story. It is his life. It is his experience. It is firsthand experience. And besides that, love wants me to believe the best about him. Now, I know that that's going to upset a lot of people in the Lord's church, because they want me to make sure, as if it's my responsibility, to make sure that every person is living the exact Christian life that they're supposed to be living. But love says, I need to believe this brother. When he says such and such is what happened to me, I need to believe that, because love believes all things and hopes all things. And if the story is too unbelievable to be true, I still hope that it is the truth. Now, I'm not naive. Time will tell if it was the truth or not. All I know is, I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because he's my brother. The very hope that has been shown to me as I tell my life story and I think back to all the evil things that I have done, my hope is that even as awful as I have been, the love of Christ is still able to save me. That very same hope ought to motivate me to look at others, whatever situation they're in, and to see the good in my brothers and sisters. Maybe we should do like this. We should put the words my tongue in these verses instead of the word love. You know, my tongue is patient, or my tongue is kind, or my tongue believes all things and hopes all things. Of course, you see the point that we're trying to make. And that is, when it comes to problems with our tongues, I need to learn to love my brethren the way God tells me to love them. Right here in 1 Corinthians, I need to trust that love does believe and does hope all good things about my brethren. Well, thank you for joining us in this series of studies about the tongue. I hope it's been beneficial for you. I know it's been beneficial for me. And we look forward to seeing you next time.